ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you are the judges of the evidence to be laid before you. Be just and fear not, for the true administration of justice is the foundation of good government.
Famous jury trials, dramatizations of cases taken from actual court history. The names of persons and places have been altered to protect the identity of those concerned.
The State versus Roger Unfank.
Since the dawn of recorded civilization, the persistent dream of mankind has been to discover a way of transmuting base elements into precious ones, lead into gold, glass into precious stones. Through the centuries, witch doctors, alchemists, and scientists have tried to work the miracle and have failed. Then one day, a few years ago, a group of men were gathered in the laboratory of a young, eccentric scientist named Roger Unfank. In one corner of the room, a powerful furnace was running full blast, raising the internal temperature to white heat. On a nearby table stood an empty metal container and an array of chemicals. Scientist Roger Unfank began addressing his colleagues.
Gentlemen, please examine the crucible into which the ingredients are to go and make sure that it is empty and that there are no false bottoms or other tricks about it. Mr. Dana, I will ask you to mix the chemicals for me yourself.
Me?
Yes, I'll tell you the proper proportions. I want you to be certain that absolutely nothing goes into that crucible except what you yourself put into it.
Well, that's fair enough.
Very well, then we are ready to proceed. Mr. Dana, take the first bottle and measure out.
The chemicals were measured out, placed in the crucible, and the top sealed in place. Then Roger Unfank opened the furnace door, pushed the crucible into the hottest part of the fire with a long-handled poker. Minutes went by. 15, 20, 23.
Isn't it time to take it out yet? I make it 25 minutes now.
Well, your watch is wrong. Yeah, that is the signal. Stand back, gentlemen, while I open the furnace door. Now, we rake out the crucible with the poker. Phew, hand me the tongs. Quickly, I can't stand this heat. Yep, there we have it. Stand back. Now, Donna, take these asbestos gloves and open the crucible.
Now?
Yes, open it and tell me what you see.
All right.
Let me examine one of those stones.
Better use the gloves, they're hot.
Gentlemen, this stone cannot be distinguished from a genuine diamond.
It is a genuine diamond, gentlemen. A genuine diamond manufactured out of a few cents worth of chemicals.
And our fortunes are made.
Famous Jury Trials presents The State versus Roger Unfank. We'll have tonight's story after this message on KNBR 68.
Truth, nothing but the truth.
I do.
Mr. Dana, were you present at the experiment in Roger Unfank's laboratory last May 21st?
Yeah, I was there.
What became of the diamonds which were taken from the crucible at that time?
Unfank gave them to me to permit me to have them examined.
Mr. Dana, I show you four uncut diamonds and ask you if you recognize them.
Yeah? Those are the stones he took from the crucible.
I offer them in evidence.
Let them be considered marked.
Did you have them examined?
Yes. I took them to a dealer in New York and had him appraise the stones.
When William Dana took the diamonds to be appraised, the jeweler told him the stones were worth $1,000. And offered to buy them if Dana could get a certificate of origin for them. A certificate which must accompany any sale of uncut diamonds, stating where they were mined. Dana then took the stones to a super expert, one of the few men who can tell by looking at a diamond the exact mine from which it was taken. Without hesitation, the expert said that the diamonds Dana showed him came from a premier mine in South Africa.
What did you do then, Mr. Dana?
Well, I'd only taken the stones to the expert to see if he could tell the difference between these diamonds, which I thought were synthetic, and real diamonds. I was gratified that the stones deceived him. But I was a little uneasy on account of his very positive statement that they came from a particular mine.
Objection. The witness's thoughts and speculations are not evidence.
Statement. Strike that part out.
It was possible, of course, that the characteristics of the artificial diamonds corresponded more closely to those taken from the premier mine than to any others, and the expert had thus been deceived. And, I went to Mr. Unthank and I told him I wanted another demonstration. The same witnesses were present, but I also had a well-known magician attend the proceedings to see if he could detect any trickery.
And did he?
No, he didn't. Unthank again produced some diamonds in the crucible, and the magician said he could see no way in which they could have been introduced into it by Unthank.
You were convinced that Unthank actually made these diamonds out of a handful of chemicals then?
Yeah, I was. And when he asked me if I'd be willing to give him the backing to build a factory to make diamonds commercially, I agreed to give him $100,000.
And did you actually give him this money?
Yes, I did. Later on, he showed me the deed to a factory site that he bought out west. Well, months passed, and Unthank kept telling me that we'd go into production any minute. But finally, I became suspicious and decided to visit the factory which he'd told me was being built.
Yes?
Well, when I got there, after a long, hard journey, I found there was nothing on the property but a deserted wooden shed. So then I realized I'd been swindled, and I made a complaint to the authorities.
Strike out the part concerning swindling.
I see. Well, that's all, Mr. Dana. Your witness.
Mr. Dana, at the experiment, the first one, you saw nothing wrong, did you?
No, I... Oh, I didn't see anything. No, sir, but I...
Oh, at the second experiment?
Well, now look here, sir, I...
Answer the question, please. Can you or any other eyewitness testify to any trickery in either experiment?
Well, no.
Your only complaint against the defendant is that there was some delay in the building of the factory, isn't it?
He had no intention of ever building it.
I ask that the answer be stricken as not responsive.
Break it out.
Answer the question, please.
But I can't answer it without giving a grossly incorrect impression to the jury.
Answer it anyway. You have no proof of any misdoing on the part of the defendant, except that the factory has not yet been built?
Well, no.
That's all, Mr. Dana.
Yeah. But all the evidence goes to show...
That is all, Mr. Dana.
Well, I... Yeah, okay.
Call Eric Poe.
Eric Poe! Eric Poe! Eric Poe!
Mr. Poe, your occupation?
I'm a jeweler.
In the ordinary way, could you identify uncut diamonds that have passed through your hands?
I believe so, sir.
Mr. Poe, I show you these diamonds here, People's Exhibit Number 1, and ask you if you recognize them.
Let me see. I may examine them with the glass?
Certainly.
Yes. Yes, these diamonds were bought from me.
Who bought them?
A man named Ernest Ferber. He bought them from me, it must be a year and a half ago.
And these diamonds here, taken from Mr. Unthank's crucible, are the same ones you sold to Mr. Ferber?
Yes, sir, I'm not mistaken. They are the same.
Thank you, Mr. Foe. Your witness.
Mr. Fole, you recognize these diamonds here without any hesitation, although you sold them a year and a half ago?
Yes, I recognize them.
Mr. Fole, I have a diamond here. Can you tell me if you ever handled it?
I may examine it?
Certainly.
Yes, I recognize it.
Now, Mr. Fole, to whom did you sell that diamond?
Why... I sold it to you, sir, only 3 days ago.
Sure of that?
Certainly.
Mr. Furrow, I show you another diamond. Do you recognize it?
Why, this is the diamond I sold you.
Oh, this one, and not that other one.
Yes, this one. I was mistaken. They're almost exactly alike.
Just so. You did not sell me that other diamond 3 days ago, as you swore under oath.
No, sir, but...
But you can easily identify the diamonds you sold a year and a half ago to Mr. Ernest.
Well, Burrow. Sir, the diamonds...
That's all, first of all.
Call Ernest Ferber.
Could Roger Unthank manufacture diamonds? On the face of it, the thing seemed incredible. And yet to many in the courtroom, there seemed to be conclusive evidence that he could actually do so. We will continue with this strange case in just a moment.
I'm back.
In the courtroom, Ernest Ferber took the stand and testified that he had bought from the dealer, Eric Foe, diamonds identical with those which Roger Unthank claimed he had manufactured. Ferber said he had given the diamonds to a girl named Louise Lafarge, and that shortly after this, Louise Lafarge had become a close friend of Roger Unthank's. Then the prosecution, contending that the uncut diamonds were not manufactured by the scientist, but had been given him by his friend, Louise Lafarge, rested its case. And the defense lawyer rose to open the case for Roger Unthank.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the defendant, Roger Unthank, is one of the great inventors of our time. He has actually discovered how to make synthetic diamonds. Scientifically, the thing is quite possible. As a matter of fact, it has been done before by other scientists. But Roger Unthank is the first man to make diamonds of a sufficient size to have any commercial value. Roger Unthank planned to build a factory to manufacture his diamonds. But he is not a businessman, and his inexperience led to many delays in getting the work started. He is innocent of any attempt at fraud or swindle. That is our case, ladies and gentlemen, and we will prove it to you beyond any reasonable doubt. I call my first witness, Louise Lafarge. Louise Lafarge! Louise Lafarge! Louise Lafarge! Miss Lafarge, you are acquainted with the defendant, Roger Unthank?
Yeah, Roger's my steady.
Your what?
My steady boyfriend.
Oh, I see. Now, do you also know a man named Ernest Ferber?
Yeah, but I never see him now. He used to be my steady, but when I met Roger, I put the skids under him.
Did Mr. Ferber ever give you any presents of jewelry?
Well, maybe a few trinkets now and then. Nothing to get excited about.
Did he ever give you any uncut diamonds?
Diamonds? I should say not. And if he did, I wouldn't have accepted them off of him. No respectable girl would.
Did you ever give any diamonds to Mr. Unthank?
Say, who do you think I am, Santa Claus?
You didn't, then?
No, I didn't. I never had none to give.
Thank you, Miss Lafarge. That's all. Your witness.
And Miss Lafarge, are you aware of the fact that Ernest Ferber has sworn that these diamonds here are the very ones he gave you a year and a half ago?
Oh, he did, Daddy, the rat. Well, I don't care what he swore. He's just trying to make trouble for Roger and me because he's jealous.
Your Honor.
I know his kind. He'd swear to anything to get even with me and Roger.
Your Honor, I ask that all of this be stricken out as not responsive, incompetent, irrelevant, and immaterial.
Yes, strike it out.
I'm surprised he didn't swear I'd stole them off him.
Well, that's all, Miss Lafarge.
Well, all I can say is...
Never mind all you can say. We've had a fair sample. Stand down, please.
Well, of course, if you don't want the truth. I thought this was a court of justice, not a place where they take a girl's character away from her and then don't...
Remove that woman.
No, I'm telling you. I'm not going to be bounced out of this joint by anybody. I'll go by myself.
And call Roger Unthank.
Roger Unthank testified without any hesitation that he could and had made diamonds with his secret formula, that the diamonds introduced into evidence had been manufactured by him. He denied that he had in any way misappropriated the funds entrusted to him by William Dana, explaining the delay in building the factory and the heavy expenditures as solely due to his lack of business experience. Then the district attorney began his cross-examination.
Mr. Unthank, you say you can make diamonds synthetically.
Yes, I've said that any number of times.
You could, of course, give the court and jury a practical demonstration of your remarkable gifts.
Certainly. Not here in court, but in my laboratory.
Your Honor, I move that the court be adjourned to Mr. Unthank's laboratory, where the jury can witness an actual demonstration of this scientific miracle.
I object, Your Honor. If the defendant should fail in this one test, it would harm his case irreparably with the jury. Whereas he has succeeded in other tests, as various witnesses have testified. And not one of them could show that there had been any trickery.
I will leave the decision to the jury. If they want a demonstration, I will allow it.
Your Honor?
Yes, Mr. Foreman?
The jury is unanimous. If agreeable to the court, we should like to be removed to Mr. Unfang's laboratory for a demonstration.
Very well. I grant the motion and order the court adjourned.
The district attorney had set his trap, and the defendant, Roger Unthank, had no choice but to walk squarely into it. For if he refused to try and manufacture diamonds, the fact of his refusal would weigh heavily against him with the jury, probably even more heavily than if he accepted the challenge and failed. And as the jury and experts appointed by the court gathered in Unthank's dingy laboratory to witness the experiment, many wondered if this attempt were not merely a courageous bluff. The furnace was roaring, and when the heat had risen to the proper temperature, the district attorney himself mixed the chemicals according to Roger Unfank's directions. Then the crucible was placed in the flames and the furnace door slammed shut. The witnesses waited impatiently as the 25 minutes passed. When the crucible was removed from the furnace and opened, it was found to contain only a few particles.
Gentlemen, this is a genuine diamond, all right. Although it is so small as to have no commercial value.
Diamond or not, the experiment is a failure. These little particles aren't worth a cent. And the diamonds he claimed to have made for Mr. Dana were fine stones of real value. This experiment proves that Unthank can't make such stones.
Pardon me, sir, but it proves nothing of the sort. The size of the stone is entirely a matter of chance. I cannot control it. The important thing is that the chemicals in the crucible have been transformed into diamonds. That's all I claimed I could do. And I've proved that I can.
Back in the courtroom, the district attorney maintained that Unthank's demonstration had failed. Finally, both sides rested their cases, and at the direction of the court, the defense attorney began his summation of the evidence for the jury.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, when I first came before you, I told you that Roger Unthank was a great scientist and inventor, but unfortunately a poor businessman. We have proved that contention. The district attorney has charged that Roger Unthank misused the funds entrusted to him. But all he can show is that Unthank never managed to make up his own mind what was the best course to follow in building a factory. Large quantities of material seem to have been bought and allowed to deteriorate, because nothing had been decided as to how they were to be used. But you cannot penalize a man simply because he is a poor businessman. The vital point is that Roger Unthank can make diamonds. He did so in your presence, and in the presence of the learned district attorney himself. What has the district attorney to say to that? What can he say? You saw for yourselves that there was no possibility of any trickery in that test in Roger Unthank's laboratory. The entire case for the prosecution exploded and collapsed at that moment when the district attorney opened the crucible in the laboratory and found that it did actually contain real diamonds.
The prosecution will sum up.
May it please your honor, Mr. Foreman, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. We maintain first that the diamonds Roger Unthank manufactured in the presence of William Danner were not synthetic at all. They were dug out of the earth, as all diamonds are, and cleverly introduced into the crucible by Roger Unthank.
We have traced the history of those diamonds step by step from the dealer, Eric Poe, who sold them to Ernest Ferber, who gave them to Louise Lafarge, the present intimate friend of the defendant. That is a clearly defined trail, ladies and gentlemen, leading directly to the defendant. As to the experiment you witnessed in Unthank's laboratory, it is clear that if he could introduce diamonds into the crucible cleverly enough to deceive William Danner, he could do the same thing to deceive you. But he had run out of diamonds by this time. He had only a few worthless diamond particles to put in the crucible. It's certainly more than a coincidence. When all the diamonds originally sold by Eric Poe were accounted for, the defendant was no longer able to produce any diamonds. Now that is the evidence, ladies and gentlemen. Examine it carefully, and you will see that there is no room for any reasonable doubts of the facts. Roger Unthank is a clever, unscrupulous swindler. Only one verdict is possible. Guilty as charged.
The judge will now instruct the jury.
The jury retired to weigh the evidence for and against Roger Unthank. Was he a brilliant, erratic scientist, or was he a very clever crook who used some magician's trick to work the illusion that he could make diamonds? We will bring you the verdict in just a moment. The jury was out for more than 48 hours before it filed once more into the courtroom and faced the judge.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
Well, no, Your Honor. The jury has not been able to come to any agreement. We're hopelessly divided and no agreement seems possible.
Very well, gentlemen. You are discharged. The defendant's bail will be continued. Case set down for 2 weeks from today. Order, order back there. What's going on?
It's a man trying to get in, Your Honor. He says he has important testimony to give.
I'll bring him up here. Who are you, sir?
My name is Henry Colch, Your Honor. I'm a broker. I have evidence which I think it is very important should be heard in this case.
Why did you not come forward at the proper time and give it?
I was traveling abroad on business and only got back earlier today.
I see. Well, it is too late for you to give your testimony to this jury. It has reported a disagreement and has now been dismissed. However, we will hear what you have to say. If you will take the stand, please, I will question you myself. No, it will not be necessary to swear him in, Mr. Clark. This testimony is not for the court record. Now then, Mr. Cole, what have you to tell the court?
Well, about 6 months ago, a man I know as Roger Unthank came to my office. He said his business was very important, and so I gave him a hearing. He wanted me to let it be known that I would finance him in the production of diamonds on a commercial scale. He said
the stocks of the great diamond companies will slump on the exchange to a fraction of their true value. We buy them up at that low price, and then I announce that I am mistaken. I cannot make diamonds after all. Stocks go up to their real value, and we make several million dollars apiece.
Oh, then you can't really make diamonds.
No, I can't. But don't worry about that. I can persuade anybody that I can. Don't worry about that angle of it. I will take care of it.
So I told him his proposal was a bare-faced stock exchange swindle, and I would have nothing to do with it.
The testimony of Henry Cole clinched the case against Roger Unthank. And at his retrial 2 weeks later, Roger Unthank was convicted and sentenced to 6 years in prison. And so ended the story of one of the most clever swindlers of our time. And to this day, no one knows how Roger Unthank, in the presence of witnesses, managed to introduce real diamonds into a crucible which he never touched, except with a pair of iron tongs. Famous jury trials, the drama of the courts, drawn from actual courtroom cases. This is a Grace Gibson radio production, directed by Lawrence H. Cecil.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording. And for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.